So in the news this week, lots of interesting things, or maybe over the last couple of weeks, in no particular order. And obviously this serves my point. These serve my point, but we've got the Cricket 2020 World Cup. Cricket, fantastic, not quite test match, which is obviously the pinnacle. But a famous player demands the right to not have to do something he actually agrees with because he wanted to make the decision himself. And we have another in the news. We have a midwife shortage in Aotearoa and in Taranaki. Some midwives are quitting their job because whilst they're not anti-vax, they are demanding the right to have a choice of vaccine. And in the news, we have very loud churches who rightly believe, in my not so humble opinion, great beliefs, to say that they are free in Christ. Yes, we affirm that. Yet they demand the right to ignore rules, to care for vulnerable people. Yet the law of Christ is love for one another, especially the least of these. It seems to me like these sorts of responses come out of a very individualistic mindset, a mindset that says it's about me, I need choice, I'll do it if it suits me, how my actions affect others is not my concern. It might be being a little bit simplistic, but... And I wonder how this individualistic mindset will play out for people in the medium to long term. For meaning and purpose, I think, is not easily found in individualism. Meaning and purpose are found in relationships, not self-centeredness. Relationships. The challenges people face in isolation show us that we were made for relationships. Think of prison with its high reoffending rates, or MIQ, managed isolation and quarantine, and lockdowns. Now, obviously, there's a place for these, but the struggle with these all reveal that we were made for connection, we were made for relationships. We were made to be around people, to relate to people, to consider and connect with people. We're made in the image of our relational God. We're not rocks or islands that exist independently and can do what we want with no impact on others. I love the vision of our passage this morning. It's a vision of what life could be like when we lessen our desire for life to be all about us, individualism, and instead see what can happen when we commit ourselves to one another. In these verses from the part of the Bible called Acts of the Apostles, we see a group of people learning how to follow Jesus and his ways. And this group of people show their love for God by committing themselves to one another. A beautiful community flows out of this. So let's look at it a little bit more. They spent time learning, in the top part there in yellow. They spent time learning from those who'd spent time with Jesus. Well, that takes commitment from people to each other. They were like family to each other. Now, family are magnificent, aren't they? But families are also messy. As the saying goes, you know, I choose my friends as I can't choose my family, or something like that. Often when other parts of life fall away, we still have family, often. Being family to each other takes a commitment to each other. And these people spent time together, intentional time eating, time praying, time together. That's how friendships and respect and meaningful connection develop. Again, it's people committing themselves to each other. And I guess these points are summed up in verse 44 where it says, all the Lord's followers often met together. This early community of Jesus' people were committed enough to each other to radically share what they had so that there was no need amongst them. Commitment to others produces community. And by their love for one another, formed in the challenges of time spent together, because, you know, it's not all rosy-tinted sort of stuff, that is not necessarily easy or ever easy. but by their love for one another, formed in the challenges of time spent together, due to their commitment, people outside their group were attracted to it, and they wanted in on it. People wanted to commit themselves to others. It was oddly attractive. You know, the wider New Testament gives us 59 different verses, the one another verses, of how this commitment to one another was to actually work out in their lives. And in a season where relationships, connection and community are of even more importance than normal, what might these verses mean for us? Community's got to be, we've got to focus on this. I think the world, and not just us, we've got to focus on this community forming in this pandemic. But what might they mean for us? I'd love to hear your thoughts. What does that mean? I've got a whole lot of ideas here, but maybe I should run through some of mine. Or have you? Who would like to share some ideas of what it means? What might it look like? I'll throw some out there then. It's making that phone call to see how somebody is, even when we're tired. It's about making connections, possibly through organising events, coffees out, bike rides, dinners, picnics, morning teas, games nights. It's including newer people in these events and in our lives. Being a friendly church is great, but let's be building on that to include newer people in our lives. I think it's prioritizing an openness to Jesus and his ways, learning, and ideally together. And flowing on from this, there's a clear call to not giving up meeting together, whether that be in smaller groups or on Sundays. It's a commitment to each other despite our differences and differences in opinions. Disagreeing is okay. What's important is doing this respectfully. On the horizon of vaccine passports and no doubt many other tricky topics and decisions, being committed to one another includes ensuring we keep other people in mind when we are making the necessary decisions together. And continuing our generosity, how can we best use our resources for our community in this season? Anything on the tip of your tongues or on the front of your minds? Okay. So we've had all this talk about being committed to one another, but why membership? Membership doesn't overtly appear in the Bible. We don't like the idea of hierarchy or exclusive clubs. Why is membership a thing for us today? That's where we're going. We prefer to think of ourselves as a faith community rather than an institution or an organization. So if you choose to participate in this West faith community, we take seriously our responsibility to welcome and to include and to nurture you in this place of shelter, faith and laughter, whether you formally become a member or not. There is no value distinction. 29 years ago, who can you see? 29 years ago, a brave and passionate group of people established this church, 55 members, committed to each other and to this neighbourhood. So since this time, many more people have committed themselves to this community of faith, working through the challenges of relationships and of starting healthy ministries and of making bold decisions and of giving generously of their time and abilities and money to shape West Baptist Community Church into who we are, what we are today. As a Baptist church, we have a rich history since 1609, of people covenanting to each other, meaning committing to each other in formal church membership. Membership was a radical, countercultural concept back then. seeking the mind of Christ, oh, and not the state. Not having one male leader tell people what to do, oh, but various types of people working together. And membership for similar and different reasons today is radically countercultural concept. Again, seeking the mind of Christ together, when this could be seen as inefficient, an inefficient use of time. What about not having one male leader tell people what to do? When it could be easier to just, you know, pay our subs as members and let people do, other people do the work. Or what about just, you know, not storming off when things don't go our way? This is more natural than sitting with difference and taking the time to do that and needing to keep the character of Christ in mind. What about being and committing to meeting together regularly rather than when we feel like it and when we do, to expect service to be what I want and complain if they're not and having no concern for others during the week? Of course, that's not us. But that's radically countercultural today. So yes, membership today flies in the face of common thinking and preferences. It's hard. It's not normal. But it is so good. Among Baptists, past and present, this relational focus has been expressed in formal church covenants or these extra special commitments. Church members covenant together to walk together in all God's ways. This has been like a Baptist thing throughout for a long, long time. To walk together in all God's ways and to watch over one another in love. I think those are two really beautiful statements that really capture it really well. So these covenants bring together two relationships that the cross helps us to visualize. So firstly, you've got the vertical. You've got God and humanity. God has committed God's self to humanity, ultimately seen in the birth and life of Jesus, who showed us what God is like and called us to be reconciled to God, to accept God's unending love. So that's the vertical. Then you've got the horizontal, us with each other. So as we bind ourselves to one another, as Christ has done to us, we experience the liberating rule of Christ through being a part of a local committed community. So membership is trying to capture both these vertical and horizontal elements, God and us with each other. Deeply committed to God, deeply committed to each other. Walking together in all God's ways and watching over one another in love. And this is the basis of our membership pledge. We try to take Jesus seriously when he said and still says, whenever two or three are gathered, there I am also. And so as we come together as committed people, these two covenants, vertical with God, horizontal with each other, they come together and we know Jesus, the leader of the church, by his Spirit, will be and is with us. Me anoi tātou. Let's pray together. We thank you for the daily opportunity to participate in your mission in the world, to help all things to be reconciled or put right and made new. And God, would you please help us be this countercultural covenant community, committed to walking in your ways, committed to watching over one another in love. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen.